The Old Testament lesson is from the 32nd chapter of Genesis, beginning at verse 22. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and Jacob crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, reading verses 1 to 7. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel is from the 15th chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 21. Please rise for the Gospel. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her a word. Then his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon text today is the gospel lesson just read, Matthew 15, 21 to 28. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, some people are born to wealth and prosperity. Some people are born to families with household names and political clout. Some people are born with intelligence, good looks, or talents that propel them to fortune, success, and fame. And then there's the rest of us. The story in our gospel lesson is about the rest of us and how we fare in the kingdom of God. One day, Jesus and his disciples took a trip far beyond their usual places of ministry. Jesus normally worked in the synagogues, villages, and countryside of Galilee, the Jordan River Valley, Samaria, Judea, and in Jerusalem during festivals. These were places inhabited or dominated by the Jews. On this trip, Jesus took his disciples to the province of Phoenicia, where there were very few Jews. This is the state of Lebanon today. Verse 21 says, he withdrew, which implies a short vacation from work, or a retreat to rest and renew. Even as God rested on the seventh day of creation, so too Jesus rested from his labors of ministry on occasion. During this retreat, a woman who lived in the region heard that Jesus was near. The lady was neither a Jew nor a Samaritan, but a Canaanite, descended from the original inhabitants of Palestine. The Canaanites who lived in the land of Israel had been slaughtered and enslaved by God's command during their conquest under Joshua. Before that, Noah had cursed his grandson Canaan with these words, "Cursed be Canaan, the lowest of slaves, will he be to his brothers," Genesis 9:25. The curse was a punishment not only to Canaan, but to Canaan's father, named Ham, for failing to honor his father. Thus, for the Jews, the Canaanites were the lowest of the low, of all people, with no redeeming features except for their use as slaves. When the Canaanite woman found Jesus, she cried out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." The title Lord indicated she believed that Jesus was of at least a noble class. The title Son of David indicated that she believed that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. In this greeting, the Canaanite woman proved to have more insight into Jesus' identity than even his own disciples. It was only later in Matthew 16 that Peter was the first Jew to recognize that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus at first rebuffed the woman when she requested the exorcism of her daughter. He told her in verse 24, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Notice that he said lost sheep, indicating that the Israelites as a nation had fallen away from their true faith in God. The Jews worshiped God in the temple, but their minds and hearts were far from him, as the prophets often complained. They had festivals, religious festivals, but they used those festivals only to have a good time, not to honor God. They had fasts, but they used those fasts to impress people with their piety, not to spend time in prayer and the study of God's word. In spite of all this faithlessness, the Israelites were the people that Jesus was called to serve, and he stuck to that commission. In the discussion with the Canaanite woman in verse 26, Jesus used the analogy of a dinner table with children seated and eating with their parents, a common scene that you would be familiar with, I'm sure. While the dogs are waiting on the floor, waiting for scraps of food to fall from the table, begging for food. I think we see this at our household almost every night. We have a dog, and he begs, and he begs, and he gets crumbs off the table. The children at the table were the Israelites. The parents, in the analogy, is God, and the dogs under the table were the Gentiles. The woman understood this analogy and accepted her status. She pointed out that even though Gentiles were not worthy to enter the temple, that is, the courts in Jerusalem that were part of the temple, they could still enter the outermost courts. In the Messiah's kingdom, she believed that the same would hold true. Jesus then gave the Canaanite woman praise with these words, "O woman, great is your faith." Only a few people who met Jesus ever received such a commendation, including another Gentile, the Roman centurion. Then Jesus spoke the words, and her daughter was healed instantly, proving his power over Satan's kingdom and that the Gentiles were also part of God's plan of salvation. What doctrines do we find here in this text? The first doctrine pertains to the evil angels that we know as demons. Although the Bible does not tell us much about the angels, either good or bad, they are present throughout the scriptures. We saw one in the Old Testament lesson today. That would have been a good angel, or maybe God himself. The Bible gives many examples of demon possession, as well as their being cast out. The king of the bad angels has many names: Satan, Beelzebub, or simply the devil. Finally, the book of Revelation in chapter 20, verse 1 to 3, depicts Satan being bound for 1,000 years and then being released for a short time. Lutherans understand this to be referring to the preaching of the gospel, which hinders the work of Satan until the last days. The second doctrine we learn from this has to do with the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles, between the Old and the New Testament. Jesus' own personal work, you might say his parish that he was assigned to on this earth, was limited to the Jews, but not absolutely, as we see here in this text. His disciples were the one that would go out into the world after Pentecost and preach the gospel to all nations, Jews and Gentiles alike. In the apostolic church, the Jews were always given the first opportunity to hear the gospel. As Paul writes in Romans 1:16, "The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, to the Jews first, and then to the Gentiles." The Jewish people had a favored nation status in God's plan of salvation because of his promises that he made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and other children of Israel. This does not mean that they can enter the kingdom of God apart from faith, but that they are loved on account of the patriarchs, Romans 11:28. For this reason, the entire Old Testament is part of the Christian canon of scriptures, and not only because they foretell of the Christ. What is the law application of this text? In verse 23, we see Jesus' disciples, who were Jews, trying to keep the Canaanite woman away from Jesus. There was, we have to admit it, ethnic prejudice at work here. Even so, there are many Christians today who want to keep people of other ethnic groups out of their church. I had an officer in my congregation in Oak Park, Illinois, many years ago, who told any visitor who was African American, Asian American, or Hispanic that they were not welcome at our church. Although I publicly told him and the officers that supported him that this was wrong, He did not change his behavior, and the leaders supported him in this. It is not surprising, then, that that congregation obtained few, if any, members in the 11 years I was there. This attitude of this officer was offensive not only to non-whites, but also to younger whites who did not share the prejudices of their elders. Christian congregations should be open to people of all races and all ethnic backgrounds. Although the Lord's Supper, as you know, is limited to those who've been properly trained in the small catechism and who know what they are receiving in the bread and wine. What is the gospel application of the text? First, we see Jesus' power over Satan in verse 28, as he casts out the demon with just a word. Even so, demons have no power to possess baptized Christians who believe in Jesus and confess his name. Similarly, we see Jesus' power at work today through the preaching of the word, through baptism, the keys, and the Lord's Supper. All these means of grace encase the powerful Word of God and the Holy Spirit, and that drives out Satan and his crew and keeps them at bay. Third, in verse 28, we see that membership in God's kingdom is not conditioned by race, wealth, power, good works, or other earthly attributes, but only on faith. Jesus said, "Woman, great is your faith." She was great because she feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things. Because she had nothing but faith, no earthly attribute distracted her or gave her false confidence in her status before God. She believed in Jesus, and like Abraham, God credited that belief to her as righteousness. Even so, all people who have faith will be credited with righteousness and so be saved eternally. May you always, as Gentile believers, seek the crumbs from God's table in his word and sacraments so that you too may join the heavenly banquet when his kingdom comes. In Jesus' name. Amen.